following is a presentation of the New Skin, BYU Sports Network. BYU football is 2 hours away from kickoff, and Cougar Pregame Live is here to get you ready for BYU versus Oklahoma State. Cougar Pregame Live is brought to you by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Cougar Pregame Live is also brought to you by Tucano's Brazilian Grill. Phenomenal flavors, a festive setting, and more fun than you can shake a skewer at. Also brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Alongside Hans Olsen, here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Good evening, BYU fans. Welcome into Mountain America Credit Union Cougar Pregame Live. Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Tonight, the undefeated and 13th ranked BYU Cougars face the surprisingly 3-3 Oklahoma State Cowboys. Welcome outside Lavelle Edwards Stadium. My name is Jason Shepherd. Thank you so much for joining us for BYU football tonight. Joining me is former Cougar Hans Olsen. And Hans, it's like it was meant to be. The bad weather is going around us. You can see the beautiful mountains, the sun setting in the west. And we've got a good big-time matchup tonight.
Yes, man. They call that the Lavelle Edwards effect. You know, when the clouds go around you and the rain disappears and the grass is just a little thicker, it's a little bit greener, and everything just feels a little bit better. That's the blessing of Lavelle Edwards right there, Shep. This is amazing, man. I love this. I love the BYU crowd. I love Canyon Wash. We got the walk in the band that's going to be coming down here in just a second. I bumped into one of my favorite human beings on this earth, one of the greatest returners in BYU football history, in James Dye.
Great.
Who is just, he is everything I've ever wanted to be as a human being. So got to see him, and that does a lot of good for my heart. And Shep, I am in a real deep quandary with this team, with this Oklahoma State team. I mean, a deep, deep quandary. So we have got a lot to discuss today.
All right, well, let's talk about the BYU side of things. Couple of storylines. Obviously, the Cougars undefeated. They are 6-0. They moved up a spot in the AP poll. Should have been more than just one spot, but they land at number 13. They are officially bowl eligible, so we obviously still have plenty of games to be played before determining what bowl game they will play in. But the offense is as close to full strength as it has been, which is good. And BYU looking for a little revenge for last year's loss in Stillwater in double overtime.
Well, I think today we are finally going to see a running back take the lead position in rushing yards for the season. Right now, Jake Retzlaff owns it, and he's owned it so far through 6 games. And I think we're about ready to finally see a running back take the torch and step forward and take Jake Retzlaff's little record away from him, because Retzlaff is currently your leading rusher at 184 yards on the season. Rapati checked in at 154 after that game against Arizona, and Martin at 136. So I am expecting today to see Rapati and LJ Martin pass Jake Retzlaff, because this is one of those games that we better see a lot of rushing yards from a now healthy running back room.
Well, and not only that, and one of the other reasons, number one, like you said, maybe you start to gravitate towards that one lead back. The other thing is Oklahoma State is not good at stopping the run.
Well, I'm going to tell you just how bad they are at stopping the run. And I have done a lot of film study on this one, a lot of film study. And I've spent a lot of time with the West Virginia and Kansas State games. They gave up 389 yards rushing to West Virginia 2 weeks ago before the bye week. They gave up 300 yards rushing to Kansas State 3 weeks ago before they played West Virginia. That is a total of 689 yards in 2 games on the ground. West Virginia, obviously, Green can run, even though Green got injured. He was injured for part of the game,
yeah,
and they had to bring in their backup. But West Virginia can absolutely run, and Kansas State can run, but we're talking about 689 yards. The defensive front for the Cowboys just doesn't have the grit. They don't have the it. They've got a bunch of guys that are six-year seniors,
right,
but they've lost two of their veterans.
Yep.
They lost linebacker edge Colin Oliver.
With a foot injury.
With a foot injury. He had 23.5 career sacks. And they lost linebacker Nick Martin, who had 48 tackles already this year. So Oklahoma State is reeling, And that should give BYU a lot of opportunity up front to rush the ball. Again, I think Rapati and LJ Martin both passed Jake Retzlaff as rushing leaders in terms of yards for the year.
Well, and it's not just on the ground that the Oklahoma State defense is struggling. Let's go over some of these numbers overall. The Oklahoma State defense right now ranked 130th. They are giving up in total yards per game just shy of 494. They're at 493.5. Through the air, they're giving up 259 yards through the air and then 235 yards per game on the ground. BYU needs to take advantage of facing a defense like this.
Yeah, no question about it. And they don't necessarily do anything well, especially with these guys who are currently out, as I just talked about, Oliver and Martin. But we talked about the rushing yards in just the last two games. If we go total yardage in the Kansas State and West Virginia games alone, which is what really plummeted them to 130th in the country, they gave up 558 yards to West Virginia and 559 yards to Kansas State. Shep, you find me back-to-back games in Oklahoma State history where they've given up over 1,100 yards of total offense in two games.
Yeah.
You find me back-to-back games in Mike Gundy history where he's given up back-to-back yardage like this. Now, he's gone into a bye week, and I'm sure they took a chewing because it wasn't just that. They played Utah, too, and Utah got them. So they've got a nice little 0-3 streak rolling right now in Big 12 play. But they went into a bye week. They took a tongue lashing. And all I can say is expect the unexpected tonight, because Mike Gundy's not just going to sit back and let this happen. He's going to make changes if he's got to make changes, and we know one's coming at the quarterback position.
Yeah, we know one's coming. I don't believe anything has been made official, but there are certainly reports out there that Garrett Rangel is going to get the start in place of Bowman tonight. Rangel played in five games last year, saw action this season against Tulsa, Utah, and West Virginia. Zane Flores is one of their other. He's a redshirt freshman. He's done for the season with an injury. So it looks like this is going to fall on Rangel's shoulders today. We'll see if we can get some sort of confirmation in our next segment when we talk with the Oklahoma State sideline reporter, Robert Allen. He's going to join us in our next segment. The question for me is, and this has been baffling all year long, you have the preseason offensive player of the year in Ollie Gordon, and they've not only has the yards not been there, they haven't even really leaned on him like I expected them to do.
Listen, it's bonkers.
Listen to these numbers. As a team, they're averaging just 91 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
Gordon's averaging just 64 yards per game. This dude is a beast.
I'm telling you.
But they haven't given him the chances, and the yards haven't been there.
Well, this is going to be a different kind of pregame than you've probably heard from Shep and I, because we're going to focus a lot on Oklahoma State. I mean, a lot of times, you know, we're here talking BYU, and you're going to hear from guests, and you're going to hear from these kinds of things, and we'll talk some BYU. But I think that we've got to place a lot of emphasis on what Oklahoma State is doing and what they are not doing. Watching the West Virginia film was baffling. Baffling. Okay, so, Shep, I heard all this hubbub from these national analysts and from the TV analysts, because I go back and I watch these games in preparation for the call with Greg. So I watched three of the last games. So I go back and I'm watching the entire West Virginia game. Well, at the start, the national analysts are like, well, every team has stacked the box. Stacking the box is 6 and 7, sometimes 8. Well, every team is overemphasizing scheme against the run. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, they start the game, and West Virginia comes out with a 5-man box. Five. West Virginia never goes more than a 6-man box. Yes, they were emphasizing down yardage. They were emphasizing run and projecting run, but they were not scheming against Ollie Gordon and the Oklahoma State run. They were not. That is not a defensive scheme to try to take out the run. They mustered up 36 total rushing yards against West Virginia's defense.
Yep.
36 yards of total rushing. Now, Ollie had 50. There were some negative yards off sacks, but 36 net yards against that West Virginia front that did not scheme against the run. They played run first, but they did not scheme against the run. So there are a lot of things that you would put in front of me and I might get overexcited about, but if you're Kalani or you're Jay Hill or you're Aaron Roderick, you know what? I'm wadding it all up. I'm throwing it in a trash can, and I'm saying, expect the unexpected,
yep,
boys.
Because
Mike Gundy is not going to just sit there and play this game.
It's had 2 weeks
that is
to
not,
sit and stew on this.
That is not who he is.
Yep. All right, we're going to see if we can get some answers to some of these questions. The Cowboys sideline reporter, Robert Allen, he roams the sidelines for the Oklahoma State radio broadcast. He's going to join us coming up on the other side. We'll see if we can get some answers to these questions that have been baffling us as we prepared for this game. Should be a fun one tonight, though. I think I'm like you. I think Mike Gundy's got something up his sleeve tonight. BYU's got to be ready.
Oh, BYU better be ready. On all accounts, they better be ready.
All right, we'll talk with Robert Allen next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Alongside Hans Olsen, here's Jason Shepherd.
The 13th-ranked BYU Cougars hosting Oklahoma State tonight from Lavella Edwards Stadium, and we're happy to be joined now by Robert Allen, who is the sideline reporter on the Cowboys radio broadcast. Robert, first and foremost, welcome to the great state of Utah in Provo. We dialed up some pretty decent views for you tonight.
Yeah, you sure did. I've been to a lot of places, Washington, seeing the lake there and Husky Stadium. Tennessee on the Tennessee River's great. Of course, Colorado was in our league for many years. They've got mountains, but not like this. I mean, I'm telling you, and we discussed this as a crew next door, and we told Greg when he came by and visited with us, Greg Ravel, that this is the most picturesque venue we've ever been for college football. It's gorgeous.
And Jason and Hans and Robert, I never jump in these interviews, right?
Yeah.
So forgive me for this, but I just wanted to quickly drop a word in about the quality of this crew, the Oklahoma State crew, how good of guys they are between Dave Hunziker and
John
Holcomb. You're talking John Holcomb. And then you go around the Big 12, and Robert knows it as well as anybody. Man, what a great bunch of guys and crews in this.
It's
conference.
A fraternity, and we look at you guys as brothers.
Yeah, and we feel the same way. And so,
yeah.
Shep and Hans, I just wanted to drop in the fact that I really do appreciate Robert and his colleagues and all the Big 12 broadcasters for bringing us kind of into the fold, if you will. And we feel so at home and so welcome. I know Hans can.
Yeah, you guys are making yourself at home.
Well, you know, it's growing pains, but it's been so far so good. Guys, I'll turn it back to you all, but I just wanted to, you know, prop up Robert and his colleagues and just how great they are to be around and get to know.
Agree.
Yes, thank you so much, Greg. Robert, how would you explain the enigma that is the 2024 Oklahoma State football team?
Yeah, it's been mind-blowing. I was telling Greg up here in the booth, you know, the first game with South Dakota State was kind of what I expected. You got a good team, you know, the FCS two-time defending champion, and they're still ranked number one. I don't know how they'll come out tomorrow, but it's a big game with the Bison, North Dakota State. Then we get Arkansas, and double overtime, and there's a lot of people would go back to that and say, I don't know if Oklahoma State really deserved to win that. And Arkansas really is maybe the most physical team we've seen so far. They're a very good team, and they've evidenced that later by beating Tennessee, and they've got a big game coming up tomorrow. Tulsa was what you expected, but then the Utah game is really the one that blew my mind. Alan Bowman comes out and really plays poorly. The offense still wasn't able to run the football. I'm with you guys. I heard Hans talking about the box with BYU. Hey, Utah did what they normally do against us and against everybody. They didn't change their defense, and Oklahoma State couldn't run the ball. I think you've got a lot of older offensive linemen that I've been disappointed in their performance, quite frankly. So I'm not putting it as much on Ollie, although I heard some of the comments about Ollie, and some of that's going on around the program is how devoted is Ollie after last year and how much is he saving himself for the National Football League. But if you knew Ollie, this guy's all out. He really is a great teammate, so I don't think he's holding back. And then defensively, he can't stop the run. That's the worst recipe. You cannot run the ball, so you can't control things, and you can't stop anybody from running it on you. Very bad recipe.
Well, this is kind of a crazy role reversal because Oklahoma State, with all the pub and all the hype and all the excitement, I was definitely buying into it, especially with the offensive line and the years of tenure that they had. And then you got these hiccups. You get the bye week. And one thing that I stand by, is that Mike Gundy is not going to just sit there and let this season go on like it currently is. I have to imagine he's going to put his foot in the ground and he's going to make some changes. And there were some rumblings that Bowman might be benched and Rangel might come out and start. Can you clarify any of those
rumors? Yeah, you'll see Garrett Rangel start tonight. Garrett Rangel will be the starting quarterback. And here's the thing, guys, and you guys are good football guys. I know that. If you're trying to even the numbers, whether it's a loaded box or just an even box, the one thing that evens the numbers is a quarterback that can run the football. You guys have that with Retzloff. I mean, he can run the football, and he's really more of a point guard type of quarterback, and I love him for that. He's the master of assists right now in this offense. But if your quarterback can run, and he does run, that evens the numbers. Everybody's got somebody to block, and there's one guy to get to the quarterback, so you're playing even up. I think that's what Mike Gundy wants to do. And to be honest, every quarterback in the room, whether it's Rangel, who'll start tonight, Flores, who's injured and done for the rest of the year, Mailuiaki Smith, who's here on the trip, everybody but Allen is a running quarterback. They're all dual-threat guys. Bowman is kind of the odd man out, and he's very talented. I don't want to disparage Allen Bowman. He's done everything he can so far. But when Ollie and the run game is not going, and Allen's tried to float it with his passing game, he's averaging 299 yards a game passing, the Cowboys are, but it's not enough. They've got to be able to run the football. And so I think that's why the move to Garrett.
The other thing that's really surprised me is all the redshirt seniors that you got across the board and the years of tenure, and we're just not seeing a lot of movement up front. What exactly is happening with this offensive line, in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean, I think both tackles, and you'll get Jake Springfield back tonight. That's another change in the line. Jake Springfield will play at right tackle. He's been out with a stress fracture since early Arkansas.
So does that sit Glass?
The second game of the season. Glass will play, though. He's graded well. Dalton Cooper's been the highest grading offensive lineman so far this season. Joe Mahalski's solid at center. My problems kind of come at the guard position. Cole Birmingham is such a dedicated guy, but he has been banged up. There are pieces of Cole Birmingham strewn across the Big 12. You can find a bone chip or something about every stadium. And then Preston Wilson, I got to base it on performance, and I'm not seeing it. So you might see Austin Kowicki is a guy we mentioned that may see some action tonight at guard.
Robert, I know you've got your own pregame responsibilities to get to, so we are going to let you go. I do want you to know that both Hans and I echo what Greg said. We are so happy to be in this conference and be a part of this conference and great institutions like Oklahoma State. Thank you so much for welcoming us in. This one should be a fun one tonight.
And just let me say this from our crew, and I think from the Oklahoma State fans, BYU is that's a big time school with a big time image, with big time performances and Heisman trophies and great quarterbacks. And I mean, this is a great program, and I am really glad. Also, I love orange, but my favorite color is blue. And if you guys will just stay out of the navies, that's why I asked Greg, what are y'all wearing? Because that royal blue, I'm not sure there's a more beautiful uniform in college football than the royal blue. So I'm kind of glad you guys are wearing the classics tonight.
Well, good luck to you tonight.
Yeah, good luck, Robert. Have a great call tonight.
Guys,
thank you.
Nice to be with you.
There we go. The great Robert Allen. He'll be on the Cowboy broadcast tonight, roaming the sidelines here at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. All right, up next, we're all aware of how well the Cougar defense is playing, but what is factoring into their supreme play against the pass? Hans breaks it down in X's and Olsen. You're listening to the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Back to Jason Shepherd and Hans Olsen for more Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Oh, Hans is so riled up. He's wanting to fight people, and I mean that in the best possible way.
I keep punching our listeners. They come by, and they're so excited. We get excited together, and then I punch them in the chest. And this is so much fun, and I love to see Cougar Nation this excited. There is nothing better. And, Shep, I was doing the show today, our daily show today, with Alema Harrington. So Alima Harrington's freshman year was the 84 championship season.
Yep.
My freshman year was the 96 Cotton Bowl season. And we were sitting there talking about just the magic of those two seasons and being freshmen and seeing it all take place and how it formed at the beginning of the year and how it continued to evolve and develop with the veterans and the coaches and the excitement and the fan base and Cougar Nation, which culminated in the Cotton Bowl with probably 45, 50,000 BYU fans that stacked in there, including like 6,000 missionaries. I can't believe how many missionaries they pulled in that Texas area. And that was the season. Those were the seasons that we are part of. And he and I were talking about it. We're like, there's a touch of that magic in this whole thing. Like the way that this team is playing for each other and the way Kalani is coaching with this staff and these guys work so hard together. It's just a beautiful, unique, rare formation of excellence, and I'm excited to be a small part of it in the booth.
Well, something else that's been exciting this year is the play of the BYU defense, and one of the things you wanted to touch on today is the BYU pass defense. Look, the Cougars are the number one team in FBS in pass efficiency defense at 90.59. I guess maybe the question is, why are they so good at that?
Well, it's three stages, and it's going to start at the pressure because you're getting more push from the D tackles and you're getting more rush on the outside. Tyler Batty's giving you push. Out of like 48 passing attempts last week against Arizona, there were 28 pressures. Now, I know that you've got extra extension and you know that Arizona was long and lengthy in their delivery, but you pressured a lot of passes. So that's number one. And then you add in number two, your second line of defense with Isaiah Glasker, Harrison Taggart, and Jack Kelly. All of them are very capable in zone defense, and all of them are all very capable in locking on a tight end or some type of bigger target. So they're really good at that. And then the added addition of their physical presence at the line, they combine for 13 TFLs. The three linebackers combine for 13 TFLs. They combine for five sacks. You're linebackers.
Right.
So you get that kind of usage from them. Now, let's go to the staple, that defensive backfield. It has been so steady and so strong. Even when Evan Johnson went down, you had guys fill in. But from Evan Johnson to Mark Collins to Jacob Robinson, it has been an incredible backfield with safeties that are ball hawks and safeties that are big hitters. So you're getting a unified effort to make sure that you're getting the defensive stops, which is leading to big plays, interceptions, big sacks, big hits, and big turnovers and big moments, scoop and scores on forced fumbles. Like that, this defense is doing remarkable things, and it's taking all phases to do it.
I'm very interested to see how this Oklahoma State offense with a not a new quarterback, meaning he's never played, but new as a starter, how they attack this defense. I'm very curious to know how they're going to come out and try to attack this defense.
You and me both. And you know I'm never short for interest. Like, I'm always got some point or some angle. I never feel lost in design of game. I am lost in the design. Because if Oklahoma State comes out and does what they've done in the last 3 weeks, BYU will pound them into dust. They will beat them senseless. They will show them no mercy, and there will be no gap, and there will be no hope.
It'll be Cobra Kai style here.
Cobra Kai style. It will.
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
No mercy. Sweep the leg if you got to and put him in a body bag, okay. Johnny. Like that's what will happen. So that's why I am perplexed, and I do not trust the film. I do not trust the stats. I do not trust any of it. Mike Gundy is too wily. He is too tough. He's got too much ego. I don't trust any of it. I expect, if I'm this BYU team, I am expecting a full change, a full court press, as much effort as this team has shown all year long. And they showed some good effort in the second half of that Arkansas game. Yep. Really good effort. I'm expecting a completely different rested team that's going to be energized and motivated, maybe just out of fear.
Right.
Of a coaching staff that's got to be angry.
All right, we've been talking about the BYU defense. Coming up next in Shep Talk, we're going to switch gears and talk a little about the offense, specifically the offensive line. Cougar offensive lineman and former Cowboy Caleb Etienne is my guest for Shep Talk. His play this year versus last year has been night and day. He has been fantastic, and I'm going to talk to him about that and more after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're tuned to Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Jason Shepherd.
Time now for this week's Shep Talk as we get you ready for the Cougars and the Cowboys. Caleb Etienne has played phenomenally this season, locking down that left tackle spot. The former Oklahoma State Cowboy is midway through his second season in Provo, and I asked him how he would describe how this season has gone so far.
You know, started the season, you know, underdogs. So, you know, we just ignore all the stuff people said about us and the doubters, and just went out there and just balled out and been proving people wrong every week by week. So, you know, we just have to just keep on stacking those good practices and the way how we prep on top of every week, so we can just keep on being successful week in and week out.
You guys aren't satisfied. It's not like you've achieved this and like that's the end goal. Right. You guys still have a lot to play
for. Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We most definitely, you know where we are standing in the rankings and all that. You know, just gotta silence that out. You know, it's still 1-0 mindset, and every game for us is a Big 12 championship game. So you know, that's where we're trying to get to, and you know, that's just our goal. So we just gotta keep on playing physical, fast, and how do we even play this week?
I think one of the things that's really stood out to me, you guys are playing laser focused and very intent, but yet also loose and somewhat carefree. How have you guys managed to be able to walk that line of taking care of business, but also doing it in a real sort of loose manner?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just preparation is everything. You know, we're confident in our coaching and what we're like, you know, gonna be doing on game day. We just go out there and do it, and you know, let it handle itself. You know, make a bad play, cycle the snap onto the next one, and just keep on believing and just having faith. You know, and just, you know, everything will work out for sure.
Sort of a corny thing to say, but season's been a lot of fun. You guys are having a lot of fun, aren't you?
Yeah, right. We're having a lot of fun. I mean, turn up after every win, so I mean, that's something we've been doing, and just having fun at practice. You know, and nothing's boring about just how the way we prep or at all. You know, Coach Kalani let us have a little fun in here and there, but you know, we're still focused and, you know, laser, like you said, laser focused in and taking care of business still.
Your play this year has been absolutely sensational. Where do you feel your game has taken the next step this year?
Hands off, I'll just say my hats off to Coach Woods. You know, he was a big role in that for sure. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I just, a lot of, you know, work just putting in this summer off season, you know, really just locking in on the little things that I needed to fix from last year. And I think that was just something that just carried into this season that's showing on the field now. So just thankful for that and just glad I'm able to just play fast and play ball, have fun.
Talk to me about your quarterback. And maybe also talk about the fact and how much pride you guys on the offensive line have taken that you've been able to keep opposing defenses away from your quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we know, you know, protecting the quarterback is a really important job. You know, that's got to take care of him like he's your mom. So you got to make sure he's clean. Every game he's had so far, he didn't have to wash his uniform after the game. So, I mean, that's a good thing. But, you know, he trusts us and when he's in the pocket, and we just keep on making him feel comfortable in the pocket and have no sacks, no pressures each game. So that's the way how we've just been playing. So, yeah.
You guys faced Oklahoma State last year. Obviously, your former team didn't go the way you guys would have wanted. How excited are you and your teammates for an opportunity to face this team again now at Lavelle Edwards Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited. You know, last year came up short. I mean, you know, went to overtime, had a rough game, had a good start. They started to come back, but I mean, we're excited. You know, they get to come home and play in our stadium, and they get the feel of the elevation and all that. So we're excited for a challenge for sure. And I know they're gonna bring their best, and we're gonna bring our best. You know, they're coming off a bye, so we just have to be ultra critical of everything we're doing this week, and just be tuned in and just ready to go play football and play physical.
What does stand out to you about this year's Cowboys team?
They've been a little looking rough, but I mean, I know they got some good guys on that team. You know, I know a handful of them. You know, they're some ballers. It's going to take them a lot to come up here and just try to, you know, take a win. So they're going to have to fight. Not going to give it nothing to them. It's not going to be easy.
All right, let's wrap things up with the final four questions. Yeah. And we're going to start off with this really difficult one.
Yeah.
Pineapple on a pizza, yes or no?
Oh, yeah, I'm all for it. I love pineapple on a pizza. My coach introduced that to me when I was in junior college. Loved it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Your favorite NFL team is who and why?
I'm gonna go with the Saints. You know, I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, hometown.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I gotta go with the New Orleans Saints.
Okay. All right. The best concert you've ever been to is what?
Actually, I've never been to a concert. Never been. I promise you, I've never been to one.
This is a theme this year.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Honestly, you are in the majority here.
Yeah.
Because almost everyone I've talked to have never been to a concert either. Do you guys, clearly you guys aren't going to concerts together for like team activities. No, is it just not your thing?
Yeah, I always wanted to go to one, but I just never been able to go to one. I just never been to one. I want to go to like a Rod Wave concert or something like
okay.
that, like somebody that can sing like that. I don't want to go to no rapper or nothing, but just someone that got like it. I wanted to be hyped and intense though.
If the BYU team is out doing something, we know it's not going to a concert,
exactly.
That's for
nope,
sure.
Not at all. You don't have to worry about that at all.
All right, last question. This is the 100th season of BYU football.
Yeah.
What responsibility do you feel to keep the legacy going of those that have played here before?
Yeah, I mean, the guys that came before us obviously put in a lot of work. You know, they left a lot of just foundations, you know, for the guys to come. So, I mean, you know, it means a lot, you know, just to pick that torch up and keep on being an example and for the people that's going to be coming behind, you know, us or me whenever I'm done playing here as well. So, I mean, it's an honor and just thankful to just be playing at BYU and, you know, just be a representation of, you know, those who came, for sure.
Caleb, you are killing it this year. It's so much fun to watch. Can't wait for the game Friday. Good luck against the Cowboys.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
He really has been unbelievable this year. His play has been fantastic, and I'm so happy for him to bounce back after last season. He's a super nice guy, and I really enjoyed him taking a few minutes to talk with me this week for Shep Talk. All right, on the other side, it's the Big 12 Blitz. Cougars the only ones playing tonight, so we'll go over what the schedule looks like tomorrow. Busy day in the Big 12 coming up tomorrow, and we'll get to it next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Get your podcast.
Now that's good to know.
The Cougars play in the Big 12 on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Welcome back outside Lavelle Edwards Stadium. We're coming to you live from Cougar Canyon as we get you ready for the 13th-ranked Cougars and the Oklahoma State Cowboys from Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Game set to kick off at 8:15 Mountain Time. Don't be surprised if that kick time gets pushed a little bit because of other programming on ESPN before. I think there's a WNBA game going on before between the Liberty and the Lynx. If that goes long at all, we'll see if they push the kick time or move it to a different channel. We'll have to wait and see. But in the meantime, BYU is the only Big 12 team in action tonight. So it's time to, Hans, look at the Big 12 Blitz, and it's all tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's some pretty intriguing matchups.
It's a great slate.
There's a couple of these that are really intriguing to me. Which of these matchups has your attention the most? I'm curious if we're going to land on the same game.
Well, the most entertaining one is going to be Colorado-Arizona. I
disagree. I think it's K-State versus West Virginia.
See, that's just too tough and rugged. I'm talking about high-flying offenses.
Well, now that's true.
And going into fourth quarters with crazy numbers.
Shedeur Sanders and Noah Fifita both just making plays out of everything.
Yeah, making plays all over the place and just seeing who makes the last one. It's going to be like an AFL game.
Right.
Who's got the ball last and who makes the play last. Right now, Shedeur Sanders leads the Big 12 in yardage per game through the air. He's number four in the country. And you've got Noah Fifita, who's number six in the Big 12, number 19 in the country at 272 yards. So I think that that's going to be a big one. The upset special that I picked, I've got West Virginia beating Kansas State.
Ooh, handing them their second conference loss.
I've got West Virginia beating Kansas State. And the other upset that I had was Arizona State going in and beating Cincinnati. So those are the two I've got.
Look, Arizona State is starting to put it together.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah,
coming off of the win against the University of Utah. But, you know, the new coaching staff is had some time now.
Yeah.
Now the thing is, Levitt's not going to play. Levitt is out as the quarterback. He got hurt in the Utah game. So they're going to have a new quarterback. I'm very curious to see how that changes things.
It could change things a lot, but as long as Scadaboo's healthy and, and running, he's just incredible. And watching what he did against the University of Utah, he was carrying four and five guys. He had one play. It was like a 50-yard run. He broke six different tackles of Utah defenders, laying them flat. He ran over one of Utah's middle linebackers, left him on the ground. Scataboo is an aggressive animal. I call him my spirit animal because he's everything I would want to be. He is an Allstott in Big 12 form.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Chip, I found out today that you're old enough to know Mike Allstott.
Oh, boy. Here's the question. I'm not going to say how old I am. How old did you think I was?
38.
Oh, thank you so much.
Somebody yelled 45. Somebody yelled 45.
Thank you so much that you thought I was 38 years old.
Any other
guesses? Oh, my gosh.
I had you pegged at 38, and I was a little shocked. I threw a 16 candles reference at you, and I'm like, you're too young. But, yeah, you're old enough to remember 16 candles and Mike Allstott.
Yeah, I'm older than you, which blew your mind.
I still can't believe it because I look like I'm 25 years older.
I act like I'm 25 younger, but that's fine.
You look like you'd get carded in a Florida bar. That's what you look like.
Well, with me, you don't have to worry about that because I'm never going to put myself in that situation.
I don't know, man. They got good wings in some of those Florida
bars.
Oh,
boy. Okay, so here, let's go chronologically what the schedule looks like. Arizona State at Cincinnati kicks off tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. That's your early game in the Big 12. Then you've got Houston and Kansas. Somebody is going to win that game.
Yeah.
And I know Houston already. I know that Houston already has a win in conference,
yeah,
somehow beating TCU.
Kansas wins that one.
I agree with you. Kansas picks up their first conference win, and they snap the four-game losing streak. Then the game you talked about, Colorado at Arizona, that's at 3 o'clock, or excuse me, 2 o'clock. That's your big noon kickoff, I believe. Gus Johnson's with that one, right?
Yep.
Yep, Gus and Joel. Then Baylor at Texas Tech. And look, as much as BYU is a surprise, I think what Texas Tech has done in conference has been a surprise.
Well, okay, so with Texas Tech, they've got a top-five quarterback, they've got a top-five running back, and they've got a top-five receiver. Baron Morton is throwing for 273 a game. You've got Jalen Noel, he's at 88 a game. And then you've got Taj Brooks, the number one running back in the Big 12 at 135.8 yards per game with 7 touchdowns already.
Yeah.
So they're stacked with offensive talent. I think Texas Tech is a problem.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And I think Texas Tech remaining schedule is a problem. You know, we were talking on the show today, is there a way for a two-loss Utah team to find their way back into the Big 12? Well, Texas Tech better get busy losing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's not a lot of losses on their schedule.
100%. Totally agree. UCF at Iowa State, and I know UCF's trying to get back on the winning ways, but I don't see it happening in Ames.
No, I think Iowa State is trying to prove a real point.
Yep, I agree. That game kicks off at 5:30. Then you've got K-State at West Virginia at 5:30. And then the late game is TCU at Utah. We know Cam Rising's season is done, likely his Utah career. And Isaac Wilson's going to get the start for the Utes on the Hill hosting the Horned Frogs.
I actually think that's a better situation, just for the knowing what they got to do. And their run game's starting to kick up. So I've got Utah on that one.
All right, that's your Big 12 Blitz. Coming up on the other side, we will visit with the voice. Greg Wrubell joins us on the other side on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to Big 12 Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Alongside Hans Olsen, my name is Jason Shepherd, getting you ready for the 13th-ranked Cougars and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And joining us now is the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell. Welcome outside, Greg.
Good to be back with you, Jason, Hans.
Yes.
How's the weather in the booth?
Toasty.
I'll peel a couple layers off.
Look, normally when we start off, we get to the personnel thing because you've just talked with Kalani, and so there's personnel updates. The good news is over the last couple of weeks, they've been getting shorter and shorter. They're getting fewer and fewer.
Yeah, the updates have not been too frequent, and maybe more than most have been happening on the offensive side. Defensively, BYU stayed pretty healthy. All the starters and the main rotation guys have not dealt with anything too significant at all this season to this point, which is great news. There will be a couple of depth linebackers missing again tonight or missing tonight. Che Bryant Strother is going to miss another game, and Sione Mo, the linebacker, will be missing tonight as well. So couple of depth linebackers out, but everyone else is pretty much good to go. Speaking of Sione Moa's, the other one, the running back Sione Moa, will dress tonight, but I think they're going to try and treat it like last week, and that is not play him if they don't have to. And with L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati back, that lessens the need for someone like Sione to play. So you may be down to – I say down to. You may just have the five running backs in this case of Martin, Ropati, Davis, Haunga, and Nawahine with Sione Moa, again, available but kind of an emergency guy. Other than that, good to go. Let's do hit the offensive line, though. Sonny Mancini will be available, and he may not start, though, tonight. Austin Leusa could be your starting right guard again. Bruce Mitchell, we know, is locking it down at center now. So could be going Etienne, Lapuaho, Mitchell, Leusa, and Keim, with Sonny Mancini being the next guy in. I think that's good because Sonny's absence was feared to be a little longer. He's kind of shortened that absence and practiced this week, so that's excellent news. So I think on the O-line, about as good as you can be missing a guy like Connor Pay. And those are really the main injury notes for tonight. Much less to talk about for BYU than Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
You talk with Robert Allen, and beyond the guys he discussed, the leading tackler in the Power Conference ranks right now is Oklahoma State's Trey Rucker, and he will not play tonight. So
Whoa. They
are down their stud safety.
That's big news.
Trey Rucker. So in his place goes Parker Robertson, 13 tackles on the year, had a tackle in the game against BYU last year. So the Rucker absence is significant. They're down a defensive end in Jaleel Johnson. They do get Justin Wright back at linebacker, but you're already dealing, as you talked about, without Martin and Oliver. But Justin Wright does come back. That's a benefit to Oklahoma State in the linebacking core. And they do, as Robert talked about, get their right tackle back in Jake Springfield. Look at the starting offensive line career starts numbers. I'm going to go left to right. These are career starts on their O-line.
Yes.
54 games, 32 games, 29 games, 40 games, and with Springfield, 42 games.
So I was looking at this with Isaiah Glass in that lineup and you getting the depth back. It is the most tenured offensive line in NCAA FBS history.
Roughly 250 starts.
That is shocking.
So how is that team 124th in rushing offense with Ollie Gordon?
Yeah.
I don't get it. It hasn't clicked yet.
Can't let it click tonight.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I keep saying this. I've said it to Shep. I'm saying it to everybody. I don't believe it. I don't believe that they are what they've shown in the last three games, especially against West Virginia, stopping on contact. That offensive line stopped on contact. West Virginia didn't do anything special. So I'm expecting Oklahoma State and this offensive line to show up with more juice, and BYU better be expecting that too.
And Robert Allen, their sideline guy with whom you talked about the stop-the-run component, 129th in rush defense. Now, the Martin Oliver absence accounts for some of that, but this is a tough number to swallow if you're Mike Gundy. You've played three league games, and you're allowing an average of more than 310 rushing yards per game in your first three conference contests. Now, BYU's not rushing for those kind of numbers, but they've got to be able to do some of that number. This has to be one of BYU's better rushing nights, you would think, with Oklahoma State playing the way it is, with L.J. Martin back. And I thought the return of L.J. was significant last week. I thought he looked like, that's the guy you've been missing.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right, Greg. Normally, the rest of this segment is filled with us asking questions and talking more about the matchup, but we're going to switch things up just a little bit tonight. In fact, I'm going to turn it over to my man Hans for this.
All right, Greg, I don't know how you do with surprises, but I've got one for you. Little Birdie told me that last week was the 300th game called by the legend Greg Rebell. I was told to disregard. I did not disregard.
No, he did not.
Greg, my man, this is Connor Pay. Congratulations on calling your 300th game. It's been awesome. As someone who was raised on BYU football, your voice has become synonymous with Cougar football. And so in a lot of ways, I was raised on Greg Rebell.
Max looks left. Max sets and throws into pressure. Complete to George! Into the end zone! Touchdown! Andrew George and the Cougars win it!
Hey, Greg. This is Brett Pine. A big congratulations on the milestone, 300 broadcasts. Hey, you're just picking up steam. That voice has got a lot of miles left in it, and I can just say that it's been a pleasure for me to be part of so many of those over the years with you on the road and at home, and you're the best in the business. Congrats to the voice of the Cougars.
Snap, Taysom. Three-step drop. Settles. Now pressure comes. Taysom steps out of it. 30, 25. Yes for Taysom. 20, 50. It's a hurdle. Oh, man! Touchdown! What a play! Taysom Hillman for six. What a score!
Greg, congratulations on 300 broadcasts. This is your former broadcast partner, Riley Nelson. I just think back to even my days as a player and having your voice on my highlight films, to being able to share the booth with you for those awesome years together, and it's a tremendous tribute to you and all the work that you've put in over the years. BYU football is better when it's voiced by Greg Rubel.
And now he's going to drop into coverage as Dingwell is forced back into the end zone. Tripped up near the goal line. Throws picked up by Kyle Van Noy. 15-10. Crossing the field to the 5. Get in. Touchdown! Kyle Van Noy. Oh, yeah. KVN does it again.
Greg Rubel, this is your long-term sidekick, Mark Durant. You, my friend, are the absolute best in the business. BYU fans are lucky to have you as the voice of the Cougars, and I'm lucky to have you as a best friend. Congrats on 300 and counting.
You get it off to Max in the gun. Max sprints out to the right, goes for the end zone. Touchdown! Back in the end zone! It's a touchdown to McKay Jacobson! It's over, and the Cougars have won it! The clock will run out on the Oklahoma Sooners, and BYU has done it!
Hello, my friend Greg Rubel, Jen Rockwood here. Just wanted to give you a big shout out for your 300th football game broadcast. You are the very best in the business and just continue to get better with age. Your involvement with soccer has helped our program get on the map. So congratulations again, all the best, and thank you so much for all you do for BYU.
Hall goes shotgun, takes off, throws for the end zone. It is caught in the end zone! Left side of the end zone, the former Ute, Samson Nacua, for the score.
This is Mark Lyons. Greg, my boy, what a great day for your 300th broadcast of BYU football. You are able to weave words together that are informative and witty. And if there's hard names to pronounce, not for Greg Rubel. He can do them all. Greg, I just wanted to say 172 more games until you pass me for games called in the booth. You'll be getting those in no time at all.
1:33 to go, and from the 30, on the keeper option look, does toss to Luke. Luke on the sideline, to the 20, to the 15, gonna go! Touchdown, BYU! And the 10-year agony is over. The game is over. And BYU wins it 24-21.
Hey, Greg, it's Duff Tittle in BYU Athletic Communications. From one old guy to another, I want to congratulate you on your 300th BYU football broadcast. Here's to the next 300, my friend.
Last play of the game. Snap, Tanner. Back pedal. Sprint out to the right. Got time. Loads up. Launches it. Goes for the end zone. The ball's in the air. It drops at the goal line. I think he caught it for a touchdown. He got it. He got it. He got it. Touchdown, Nick Matthews. The Cougars win it. The Cougars win it.
Greg, man, 300 broadcasts. Holy smokes, look at you just keep on rolling. Really treasured our time together. Congratulations on an amazing day, career, and future. Miss you, and you're always welcome out here in the desert. See you later, Bronco.
Kingston recovers it. Inside his 10, running away from tacklers. Now the 10, the 15, the 20, the 21, the 30. Convoy down the sideline. Midfield 45, 40, 35, 30. Oh, my goodness. He's going to go.
This is Tom Holmo. Congratulations, Greg Rubel, the voice of the Cougars, on your 300th football broadcast for the BYU Cougars. Way to go. Keep it up, buddy.
Wilson in the gun. BYU's 80 yards away from the end zone. 50 yards away from field goal territory. A step up by Wilson. Deep man is open. It's caught by Simon.
Oh, yeah,
he's
baby.
The 40. The
come
35
back, go,
20,
baby.
25-20. 7 seconds to go. The clock will stop. Simon was open, and Wilson found him.
Hey, Greg, this is Kalani. Thank you for providing amazing commentary and detailed data and research, stuff you're really good at, to BYU Athletics. Your professionalism and expertise is second to none. We love you and appreciate all you do for us. I think the voice of the Cougars isn't a strong enough description for you. Let's include your energy, joy, passion, excitement, and love of BYU Athletics that all of Cougar Nation can connect with. We are so blessed to have you and looking forward to making more memories with you. Love you, bro. Go Cougs.
This should be the last snap of the football game. Snap to John. John backpedals, plenty of time, plenty of time, plenty of time. He's moving to his left, shuffling, 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 all kinds of time. Now the heat comes. He's got to run to the right. John Beck is on the run. He throws behind him. It is caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Johnny Harleen got it for the score! Harleen by himself in the end zone! The Cougars win it on the final play of the game! Can you believe this?
It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you have the time of your life.
Ah, Greg, Greg Wrubell, congratulations on 300 served, man. That was my gift to you.
Wow. We've only been together for like 18 games, and he's pulling this out of the hat. How does that work?
Yeah, and this was – I got wind that this was going, and he said – I found out somehow that he just called his 300th game. Got to do something. And he got this made for you.
Well, I got to give credit to a lot of people. Brett Pine went to work. Shep went to work. Shep, I know that you had some behind the scenes that were pulling some of the old cuts from back in the day.
Terry South.
Terry South did a fantastic job. So, and I appreciate everybody that sent in, from Bronco Mendenhall to Tom Holmo to Kalani to Mark Lyons. And we did have to cut. Mark's was 5 minutes and 60 seconds. So we did have to trim it down. And then a big thank you to Scott Gerard. He's the one that actually compiled all of the sound as a gift to you.
Wow. I never would have seen this coming at all. And so I'm moved. I'm honored. I'm humbled. And now I got to go call a game.
Well, you're loved.
301.
Those are wonderful memories.
Yeah.
And you're wonderful people for doing that. That was super special. And I can't promise 300 more, like somebody said, but I'll try and squeeze another 100 out. That's my pledge. Well, gosh, that was something else. Thank you so much.
Cougar Nation's lucky to have you.
Well, I'm blessed. The pleasure and the privilege is mine, and I'm the luckiest guy to do what I do. Thank you, guys.
Well, 300 games, what an accomplishment. I do want to tell you on a personal note, I will never forget the day that I got a phone call from you when I was working at a different radio station. And I remember the question you asked me, what's your situation where you're at? And that phone call changed my life, and I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad we're teammates and have been for a long time, will be for a long time more. Jason, thank you. Hans, thank you. I love you. And Cougar Nation, love you. Thank you very much. Let's go get one. Thank you.
All right. The voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell. One more. Let's go. All right, we'll take a quick break. Mitchell Juergens joins us on the other side after this pause for station identification on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to Big 12 Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Welcome back outside Lavelle Edwards Stadium, coming to you live from Cougar Canyon. The Cougars and the Cowboys coming your way from Lavelle Edwards Stadium. We are having an unbelievable night. What a way to celebrate the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, who is the hardest working person you will ever meet. And everybody that listens to him certainly knows how dedicated he is to BYU Cougar football, baseball, basketball, soccer, all of it. It was very cool. Very cool moment. All right, joining me now is Mitchell Juergens, who's been on the receiving end of being one of those calls, the Starman call. Joins me now. You'll hear Mitch on the sideline tonight. Let's start here. The BYU defense has been better than advertised this season. What do you – if someone says, what's the strength of this defense, how do you answer that? Because I think there's so many ways you can go.
Yeah, Jason, why do you have to ask me the tough questions here? Like, this is it's such a hard question because there's so many aspects of this team that has been the strength. And maybe the answer to your question, if I'm going to get technical here, is that there's not a weak spot. There's not a weak group right now. You look at the D-line, the amount of pressure that they've been able to provide and force on these opposing quarterbacks to make them uncomfortable. The linebackers have been one of the biggest surprises, just that the cohesivity of that unit and the strength of that unit. All three starters, Harrison Taggart, Isaiah Glasker, and Jack Kelly, I mean, those are stars in the making for this defense that have been so good. And then the secondary has depth that, like, depth we've never seen. And so it really is. Like, when you look at the strength of this group, it's that every single group is so strong and so deep, and they're playing such amazing football, teamwork football. And the other thing that maybe I will just throw on top of that, the unpredictability of Jay Hill's defense.
Yep.
The amount of coaches in their post-game interviews after playing BYU where they say, honestly, that wasn't what we were planning for. We didn't see that type of defense. And so Jay Hill, he's just a mastermind calling plays, scheming for this defense. And you combine all that and talk about I mean, they've truly been the strength of this team so far this season.
All right, so let's follow up one really difficult question to answer with another one. Who's your defensive MVP?
Gosh, why are you doing this to me, Jason? Again, picking one person, it's really hard, but I'm going to give you Jacob Robinson. I love the way he plays. Every single year he's gotten better and better. When you look at the number one pass efficiency defense in the nation right now, yes, there's a lot of groups that contribute to that because it is contributions from every single unit. You have to get pressure to make these quarterbacks uncomfortable. But when you look at the impact Jacob Robinson has, you can have so much confidence bringing pressure because if Jacob Robinson has this guy, he's not getting beat. He's locked down in coverage. He makes big plays in big moments. You go back to last week, and that tip interception that he had was a game-changing play for last week. And I love the way he plays. He's humble. He's hungry. He's a leader on that defense, a captain of this team. And I've got to give him the MVP so far.
All right. The Cowboys, they're coming off a bye. They've had 2 weeks to get ready. They're winless in conference. They have not looked good in a month. They can't stop the run, having trouble running the ball. They're down their two best linebackers. Now they're down one of their better secondary players.
I can't believe that one either.
I know. All of this means BYU should roll in this game, and it scares me to death. How dangerous is this team tonight?
Well, the talent is still there for this team, and that's what, you know, when looking at the Big 12 conference, what I've loved being a part of this conference is it feels like anybody can beat anybody any week. There's talent across the board. When you look at Oklahoma State specifically, they returned the most starters from last year than any team in the Big 12. They returned 20 of their 22 starters, or somewhere in that range. This is a team that last year went to the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
So you can't argue against the talent that they have. For some reason, things just aren't clicking. And so if somehow they get back to that team – earlier in the season, the first 3 weeks, they looked good. They beat Arkansas, who, you look at Arkansas's resume right now, they've got wins against Tennessee, a win against Auburn. They went toe-to-toe with Texas A&M, and you've got Texas A&M and Tennessee both ranked. Like, they can beat a good football team in Arkansas, which means they could do the same if they pull it all together.
Okay, well, let's just hope they play at Baylor next week. Let them pull it all together against the Bears, okay? Let's not do that tonight.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they're going to. And,
right.
And if BYU – and the other point that I'll make is if BYU just plays their game and what they've done so far this season, they don't fall apart, they should win this football game just based on a lot of the key injuries, the struggles that the Oklahoma State has had, the high that BYU is on right now. If they can pull it together, play disciplined – team football and continue to find ways to gain yards on the ground through the air. They shouldn't have a problem, but I guess we'll see here soon.
All right, let's talk about how BYU attacks this defense. They're giving up nearly 500 yards of offense. Teams have been able to run on this team. They've been able to pass. They've been able to do whatever they've wanted against this defense. So how do you want the BYU offense to attack the defense?
I want to see it all, Jason.
Look, I'm still hoping for my all flea flicker offense. I don't think that's going to happen tonight, but you know.
But I think, I mean, it starts with the ground game. Giving up 235 yards a game, BYU has to be able to move the ball, and it opens up the playbook for Aaron Roderick. If you can run the ball on first and second down, gain 4 to 5, 6 yards, put yourself if you can avoid third downs altogether, let's do it. That's not going to be possible because it's football, right? But if you can put yourself in third manageable situations because of the success that you're having on the ground, you're going to open up the playbook for Aaron Roderick to get creative. Yeah. And you know what? If they are pounding the football, then expect to see some shots down the field. They're going to catch Oklahoma State on their heels if they can, because what I really want to see is a balanced attack. That's the sign of a good football team. They're giving up yards both ways. Take advantage of both of it, but it starts, in my opinion, with the ground game. If they can establish that, then they're going to set the tone for themselves the rest of the game, which is going to open up a lot of options.
And establish the ground game on first down because, you get into second and short, third, to your point, you have so much of the playbook that opens up, and you have the defense, which is already probably second-guessing right now, not knowing where BYU could go because they have so many different options. I'm with you. I think you get the run game going, and having LJ Martin come back last week and look as good as he did, that certainly would appear to be the prime place to start with LJ Martin.
Oh, absolutely. And to go or the impact and the importance of rushing on first, gaining those chunk yards. Jake Retzlaff, when he is in second and manageable, third and manageable situations, he looks so much more comfortable. So if BYU can, if Aaron Roderick can call that type of game, gain some yards early on the early downs, and then let Jake do what he's done, he's proven to be a great game manager when he feels comfortable. I really am excited to see how this offense does today.
Yeah, and I like what you said. You know, you getting into those short yardage situations after, you know, in second and third, then you can take some shots because you feel pretty good about the way that the game is going on the ground, that you can pick up a second or a third and three if maybe the big play doesn't work.
Absolutely.
All right, Mitch, great stuff. We'll let you get inside, and we'll hear you on the broadcast tonight. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, Jason.
There we go. On the other side, you will hear from Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy. That's next on Mountain America Credit Union Cougar Pregame, live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Podcasts.
The Cougars play in the Big 12 on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
We're inching closer to the Cougars and the Cowboys. In fact, kickoff should come your way in just about an hour from now. Time now to hear from the head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, Mike Gundy. And we'll start with him discussing what the team focused on during the bye week.
We just stress the things that we feel like that we need to get accomplished, need to be a better run fit defense, minimize a few of the big plays that we've gotten, and then continue to work offensively and rushing the football and being good at our basic play action passes, which we've worked on from day one. So there wasn't any big mystery or any big secret to what we tried to get accomplished, just good quality work.
And remember, if you're just joining pregame and did not hear earlier on, Oklahoma State is going to have a new quarterback tonight. Bowman is out. Garrett Rangel is going to get the start for the Cowboys tonight. But obviously, still having Ollie Gordon there, you would think you would see a heavy dose of him. But, you know, we talked about it. It's sort of a head-scratcher that we have not seen that out of this offense so far this year. All right. Having lost three in a row, Coach Gundy was asked how his team has responded in practice and in preparation for tonight's game.
If we don't play as well as we wanted to, then I want guys to feel that. I want to see them have some sort of dejection for that. And then I want them to recover quickly because we got to go back to work. We have to reprogram, get ready for the next game, and try not to let a game there be a hangover for the next one. And at this point, that's what I see. I see the guys that are eager to improve and get better for the next game on Friday night.
In every press conference, there comes a time when the coach is asked about the opponent. And here is what Coach Gundy had to say about BYU.
They're having a great year. Kalani's doing a great job. They're very mature. They're getting really, really good quarterback play, in my opinion. They have good players. I think they've got probably three or four guys that are going to get drafted off the team from what I see just from the naked eye. And I don't follow up on any of that. But they've got a good team. They're mature. They're playing with confidence. Quarterback's playing really good at this time. And they're getting good pass rush. They get good pressure on the quarterback with four-man rush.
All right, just like everyone else watching the Big 12, it's been interesting to see the teams picked to be at the top slip, while teams that weren't expected to do much, like BYU, have risen to the top. Coach Gundy was asked about the craziness of the conference and the reasons why he believes it's happening.
Well, we've talked about this. We talked about it 2 years ago, last year, last summer, this last season. We talked about it out in Las Vegas, and I've mentioned it here. We're in free agency now. We're in a different world. These players are in mentally a different state. They make money now. This has become an NFL concept. It's all coming true. It's week to week. It's hard to tell based on off-season transactions. Quarterback play is still a big part of it, in my opinion. You get good quarterback play, you'll always kind of be in the mix. If you're not getting good quarterback play, then you'll have a hard time competing But what you're saying is true. I think this is the future. It's across the board. It's good for viewership, not so good for coaches, hard on the lifestyle. But either way, that's the future based on the availability and off seasons to bring kids in. I had a higher opinion of BYU, Barry, than what most people did, because the last two or three years, BYU started the season 4-0, 5-0. I don't know. They might have even got to 6-0 at one time. And then they had injuries and had quarterback issues and a couple other things happen, and they fell off at the end of the season. But they've had a good team, in my opinion, over the last three or four years.
All right, that's the head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, Mike Gundy. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hit some scores going on tonight. There's not a ton. In fact, there's only four games featuring FBS teams tonight. We'll get to some of those scores before we send it up to the broadcast booth for the Cougar Pregame Coaches Show with Greg Wrubell and Kalani Sitake. We'll take one more break, come back, wrap things up from Cougar Canyon on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to Big 12 Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Welcome back to Cougar Canyon outside Lavelle Edwards Stadium. We're getting closer now, inside an hour before kickoff between the Cougars and the Cowboys. Well, unfortunately, my internet connection's not going to allow me to switch to the games that are being played tonight. So let's go over one more time what the Big 12 schedule looks like tomorrow. I've already got that pulled up, so don't need to open up anything else. Arizona State at Cincinnati tomorrow, and that'll kick off at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Then at 1:30 in the afternoon, Houston at Kansas. At 2 o'clock Mountain Time, Baylor at Texas Tech. At 5:30, also at 2 o'clock, can't forget this one, Colorado at Arizona. That one's going to be a fun one to watch. Should be lots of offense. I don't know if there'll be too many defensive plays on that one. UCF will be at number 9, Iowa State, at 5:30. Also at 5:30, number 12, K-State, is at West Virginia, and then your late game, 8:30 kickoff in Salt Lake City. It is TCU at the University of Utah. All right, that's going to do it. Coming up next is the Zions Bank Cougar Pregame Coaches Show with Greg Wrubell and Kalani Sitake. You're listening to BYU Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
It's time to hear from the head coach of the BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake. This is the Cougar Pregame Coaches Show, presented by Zions Bank. For banking that goes the extra yard, Zions Bank is for you. The Cougar Pregame Coaches Show is also brought to you by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Let's join Hans Olsen and the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Good evening, Cougar football fans, and on this cool fall Friday night, we welcome you back inside Lavelle Edwards Stadium on the Brigham Young University campus in Provo, Utah, as this evening, the 13th-ranked BYU Cougars play to go 7-0, hosting the Oklahoma State Cowboys for the first time ever. These two teams going in different directions, BYU climbing in the polls and atop the Big 12 standings, while the Pokes come to Provo on a three-game slide and sitting in the conference cellar while considering and now making a quarterback change. My name is Greg Wrubell. I'll have your play-by-play call tonight. With me in the booth, the former BYU and pro lineman, the big man himself, Hans Olsen. And Hans, the old cliche is trap game. We hear it all the time, trap game. And tonight's game, well, it actually kind of fits the definition. BYU is rolling, but Oklahoma State is rested. The Cougs haven't lost a game this season, but OSU's never lost to BYU. Yes, the Cougs are great in night games and Friday night games, but the Cowboys have won their last three Friday games. BYU's ranked 13th, but OSU has won its last five games when unranked and facing a ranked opponent. The point is, you overlook the Pokes at your peril. BYU has to be ready to roll from the get-go tonight.
Don't overlook these guys. Be ready for everything. In fact, if I'm this coaching staff, I don't look at the West Virginia film. You know, West Virginia got up on them 31-7 in the first 22 minutes of that game and just beat them from start to finish. I don't look at the Kansas State film. As a team, I'm throwing that Kansas State film out. I don't trust it. I don't believe it. The only film I'm watching is the second half of that Arkansas game. That's the best that Oklahoma State has looked this season. They got some rushing going. They got some blocking going. But I'm throwing out the Utah film, the Kansas State film. I am throwing it out. It's a false front. It's fake. I don't believe it. I am preparing for the best Oklahoma State team that I could ever imagine showing up in this stadium. Now, with that being said, Greg, I've prepared now for a lot of Big 12 teams in the booth. This is one of the worst that I've seen on film through three games. As far as preparation and watching the film, it's one of the worst I've seen, and it's in the trench. Both the offensive and defensive lines look very poor, very, very poor.
Among the films you might want to show BYU, how about last November in Stillwater? Would that get their attention?
That would absolutely get their attention, and I would absolutely show that because I think you've got a lot of the same matchups. Tyler Batty, John Nelson, you've got Schoonover, you've got Mangelson, you've got guys that saw this front. And on the flip side, Lapu'aho, these guys have seen Caleb Etienne and Braden Kime were your starting tackles in the trench last year when they knocked you out of postseason contention. So I show them that film as a stark reminder that these guys don't mess around and that Mike Gundy is a brilliant coach.
Coming up next, the pregame thoughts of BYU's own brilliant coach, the head coach, Kalani Sitake. As the Zions Bank Cougar pregame coaches show continues for banking that goes the extra yard, Zions Bank is for you. My pregame chat with the Cougars head coach is coming up right after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The Cougar pregame coaches show continues. Once again, here's Greg Wrubell.
We are coming your way live from Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Provo. Tonight, the 6-0 BYU Cougars, home to the 3-3 Oklahoma State Cowboys. Fourth all-time meeting between these two programs, but the first get-together here in Provo on the BYU campus. The previous three meetings were two bowl games in the 1970s and last season's meeting in cold, gray, and wet Stillwater as the Pokes prevailed in double overtime after coming back from down 18 points at halftime. Time now for my pregame conversation with BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. It's presented by Zions Bank. For banking that goes the extra yard, Zions Bank is for you. And tonight, Kalani talks about starting the second half of a season that has been spectacular so far.
Yeah, keep the same message. Every week's a different week. You know, we're really worried about the record, or even though it's worked out in our favor, we're more concerned about getting better every week and trying to stay humble and trying to stay hungry. I think it's the guys have taken to it. The players, the leaders have taken over the team. So it's the message is going there. I just have to find different ways to allow these guys to keep working hard and you know, find a way to make plays when it comes to game night. So we're here now and felt really good about the whole prep. And I'm actually excited that the game came a day earlier. So, you know, we're fired up, man. We're fired up to be here at home and be at night. It's going to be kind of fun. This is kind of our new norm now. Right. So looking forward to the game more than anything. Just really pleased with the team and then the players and just really excited about the opportunity.
It means I get to ask you again about your team's successful record in these short week games. You get right to work and maybe you accelerate it by a day and you get ready to roll.
Yeah, we're a good team whenever you put us making us more urgent. And so that's a good sign for us. I mean, last week after coming off a bye, everyone's the normal thing is, are you going to have, is going to be flat? How are things going to be? And that's what Oklahoma State has the answer tonight. We don't have to do that anymore. We thought we came out fired up and ready to play. And I'm looking forward to just having the guys start fast again tonight. And we'll just see what happens, man. You have to give a lot of credit to Oklahoma State. They're a well-coached team. They were in the championship game last year, so they're not someone that you can just look over, and that's not our style anyway. So we want to make sure we play at our best, but we definitely have a lot of respect for this team and are excited that we can match up with them after last year's heartbreak loss.
We'll talk a bit about Oklahoma State here in a second. Some personnel notes for you first up. Bruce Mitchell remains in the Connors Pay spot at center. How do you plan to handle right guard tonight?
Yeah, I think Austin Liu, so he was a starter there, and Sonny Mocassini is ready to go. And so he had a great week of practice, but we think we're just going to keep it consistent from what was last week. And then we'll rotate Sonny, and he can play any of the three interior spots. feel good about our depth at linemen. Just don't want to test it. You know, it's been good right now, and Bruce has done an amazing job with the front. T.J. Woods has done a great job coaching that O-line group.
Running back Sione Moa remains on the mend, but with L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati back and Miles and Pokai and Enoch still there, you're good at running back.
Yeah, and if we need Sione, he's ready to go. I mean, if you ask him, he's ready to play, and he's got his game face on, and he's got, you know, he's approaching the game like he's going to be out there playing. So it's good to have guys that are ready and good to have more than enough, but I'm not going to complain about it.
Maybe down a couple of linebackers, but again, a very deep room there. Che Bryant Strother and Sione Moa.
Yeah. It is an opportunity for guys like Siale Acero to step up and Sione's brother, Ice Moa, to step up and make some plays, and Miles Hall, others that we feel really good about playing in this system and that are coming along. And now that we're midseason, really no one's new anymore. These are veterans. They have game experience behind them. So looking to see how they can complement the starters.
To Oklahoma State, nobody was surprised when they opened 3-0. I think a few people are surprised. They've lost 3 in a row, though.
Yeah, I think that's the danger of this conference. You know, you can't. Every week's a battle. We knew that from last year, so we really have to. This is going to be a battle for us. We have to approach it like we have to play our best. I want to play our best so that we've played all year long, and let's do it tonight, and then we'll see what happens next week. But I like the way that we've been able to improve and get better from the mistakes we've made the week before. And now we're at game 7. I'm excited to see the improvement that we've made.
Word is we'll be seeing Garrett Rangel start a quarterback in place of Alan Bowman. What are the differences between those two, the way you see it?
Well, they're system guys. I mean, I think he's got a great arm. You don't play quarterback for Mike Gundy and not be able to throw the ball. So he can throw the ball. You can tell they've had extra time for him to get the offense ready and for him to be the guy that's getting the bulk of the reps. So we just have to be on our best. It's hard to just focus on the individual. Just I think that position group, we just got to find ways to make it difficult for the quarterback, regardless of who's under center.
If there was ever a team that's not going to overlook Oklahoma State, it may be BYU, because you played them to end last season. Ollie Gordon had 5 rushing touchdowns. Bowman, when he did play, played well. It was still a good group, and a lot of that team is back.
Yeah, exactly, and we're looking forward to the matchup, too. Ollie got off on us in the second half, and then these guys are – a lot of the guys are back now. So, you know, we feel like we've improved a lot in the last year, and so we're excited for the matchup. And he's one of the best running backs in the country. This is going to be a good test for us to see where we're at as a defense.
And one more time, you get a night game at your place. We know how special this environment can be.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. This place is going to be rocking, and it's going to be we want it to be a spectacle. We want to make sure that we entertain the fans and get them involved really early.
Always great spending time with you pregame, Coach. Good luck on this one. We'll talk to you afterwards.
Thank you. Go Cougs. Appreciate it, Greg.
That is BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. This has been the Zions Bank Cougar Pregame Coaches Show. As we head to break, here are tonight's Ford keys to the game. They're brought to you by your local Ford stores. BYU football, built Ford proud. Hans, what do you have for tonight?
Well, a lot of these things feed right off what Kalani just said. Number one, be prepared for the unknown. Be ready to see Garrett Rangel, and be ready for a tweak in the attack. This is his third year in the system, and we still don't have a lot to go on. I did see him start the second half. He threw 11 passes against the University of Utah. He completed 3 of those. 2 of them were under 10 yards. 1 of them was a deep post. But that was it as far as completions. 3 of 11 against Utah, and he did play the entire second half. Did not show a lot of rush of ability in that game. He had 1 batted pass and struggled with accuracy. So I wouldn't be surprised at some point to see another quarterback. So you got to be ready for that as well. I have to imagine that the bye week gave them time to build a plan, but plans get abandoned fast when they don't work. Number 2, the run game is wide open against Oklahoma State. They've given up 689 rushing yards in the last 2 games. On the ground, that's an astounding number. I think imposing your will is kind of a continuation of that final drive against Arizona. Will set the tone and allow your O-line to shake off this cold and throw some punches. Run it early. Run it between the tackles. Let L.J. Martin, Hinkley Ropati, let them set the tone. Early run success is an indicator of high probability to win tonight. And then number 3, I never do this one, Greg. I never do this. In fact, I don't know if I've ever used this as a pregame key. As wins compound, pressure compounds. Believe it or not, as wins compound, pressure compounds. So remember, have fun. Find a way to smile, laugh, high five. Don't lose the spirit of competition. Have fun. Don't worry about the 6-0. Don't worry about the streak. Go out there and have fun. You'll come out of this with a win.
Those are Hans Olsen's forward keys to the game. The Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show coming up right after this. You're listening to BYU Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
We're getting closer to kickoff of BYU football. You're tuned to the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show. Ken Garf, we hear you. The Cougar Kickoff Show is also brought to you by the BYU Creamery, serving sweet memories for 75 years. Let's head live to the All-Pro Capital broadcast booth. Alongside Hans Olsen, here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Vrubel.
Good evening once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Lavelle Edwards Stadium as tonight the undefeated 13th-ranked BYU Cougars host the unranked Oklahoma State Cowboys. One team trying to remain perfect on the season, the other looking to stop a three-game losing streak, and this is the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. Greg Vrubel here, sitting alongside Hans Olsen in the broadcast booth, former BYU wide receiver Mitchell Juergens joining us from the sidelines and in the Zions Bank end zone for banking that goes the extra yard. Zions Bank is for you. Our Cougar Canyon and scoreboard host, Jason Shepard. Audio engineers, Michael Wimmer, Clark Jackman, Barry Squires, Sean O'Neill, and Brett Greenberg. Our spotter, McKay Perry. Statistician is Ralph Sokolowski. Coordinating producer, Terry South. Control board operator is Seth Larson. Stats interns are Devin Gwynn and Aaron Clemens. You are tuned in on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Our satellite flagship, BYU Radio, Sirius XM 143. Over the air, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. You can listen to us on the BYU Radio app, the KSL app. New this year, the TuneIn app, as well as on BYUradio.org and network affiliates in Utah and Idaho. And be sure to subscribe to the BYU Football Podcast for broadcast archives and highlights. You can also get those on the BYU Radio app and at BYUradio.org. Simply search sports or shows and look for BYU Football. Okay, perhaps fitting that tonight's opponent is Oklahoma State, one of only two Big 12 opponents that BYU's facing for a second consecutive season, because it was the loss at OSU last year that cost the Cougs a bowl bid, a shot at a winning season, and in turn led to some significant changes within the program, administratively, tactically, and motivationally. Losing an 18-point halftime lead and dropping that game last November in Stillwater was in many ways a catalyst for the 6-0 start to this year. So tonight, we hopefully get to see just how far the Cougars have come since that soggy Saturday in Stillwater.
You think about the changes that were made and the impact that they've had with Coach Gilbride, with Coach T.J. Woods, and what he's done with this offensive line. The changes that were made after that loss, I think, have catapulted this team. Now, what's incredible about this too, Greg, is it's the changes you didn't make. You didn't go to the transfer portal. You didn't panic. You allowed these guys to kind of sit and stew in the misery of missing a bowl game. While we were busy making guesses, they were busy in the weight room. While I was busy missing on a bunch, these guys were busy putting in the work, the sweat, the tears. They were busy in their playbooks, learning what Jay Hill expects from them, learning what Aaron Roderick expects from them. And every one of these guys was a part of that situation against Oklahoma in this stadium. They were a part of that situation in Stillwater in overtime when Ollie Gordon ran over them. They haven't forgot it, and they're going to continue to show that they won't forget it.
He's Hans Olsen. More of the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show straight ahead, including our annual pregame conversation with BYU AD Tom Holmo. That is next. As we head to break, this reminder to go to BigOTires.com and make an appointment at one of 50 locally owned and operated Utah locations. Big O Tires, the team you trust. Tom is coming up next. This is BYU Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show. Let's get back to Hans Olsen and the voice of the Cougars, Greg Vrubel.
BYU and Oklahoma State set for an 8:25 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff now under the Friday night lights here at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. At the end of a week in which the weather finally turned to fall, autumn has arrived, and with it some rain and cooler temperatures, football weather, as they say. Well, what can you say about BYU football in 2024 other than It has been a wild and wonderful ride so far. 6-0, ranked in the top 15, tied for the lead in a very competitive Big 12 conference and grabbing more and more national attention and exposure with every passing week. While there is certainly a lot of football left to be played, I'm sure it's the kind of performance that BYU AD Tom Holmoe hoped would be possible as the Cougars became a power conference program. And now, in only its second season of P4 football, BYU's in position to have a special season. And the man who helped make all of this possible joins us now in the broadcast booth for our annual pregame chat. Tom, great to have you back up here once again.
Well, it's good to be back on a beautiful fall night and can't wait to get going against Oklahoma State.
We hope to avoid the rain delays that you and I sat through last night at soccer.
Rain and lightning.
And lightning, yeah. It was a wild night. Tom, it is year two, and I think everyone expects a program that goes from non-power to power conference to have, you know, some growing pains in a transition period. How would you judge that period for BYU so far?
I think it's been a great success. I think as you look back to last year, you can always make excuses and you can have revisionist history when you're looking backwards. At the time, you don't really know what's going on. But I think one thing that really came into play last year was just that first round of Big 12 games. You're not quite sure what it's like to go on the road, stay in different hotels, go to games, and you don't know their personnel. We've played some of these teams before. Some of them are new, but we've played them before. And even if you haven't played them, you have a better feel for what that league looks like. You've seen them on film a lot. When they're watching film of Oklahoma State, they're seeing teams that they've played, and they can see how their opponents have played them, and they know matchups. So I think that if you have coaches that are in the know, they're going to help those individual players not only play the game plan for the specific week, but, like, really work on the one-on-one matchups. And really, when it comes down to it, I always say the best seasons are made up of the best games where your best players play their very best. You can't have a season like this and have your best players play average or subpar.
Is that what you would attribute this level of success to start this season to, is some notoriety?
I think that's a big part of it. But I think as I listened to your earlier part of the pregame show, I think you guys hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of changes that were made. And I think that bringing in a couple new coaches, having a couple coaches seasoned in, like our defensive staff, there is the same staff from last year, but now they're seasoned in a little bit better. They know exactly what's expected. I could see the beginnings of a defensive scheme that was going to be special if we could ever come together. And so the whole offseason, you kind of had to bite your lip, especially Kalani and the boys, just saying, we'll see. And people would ask me, hey, how's the football team going to be this year? And in their voice, I was hearing them say, are they going to be okay? And I was thinking to myself, you know, I would say, you just got to see them play. But I was thinking to myself, they've paid a big price. I saw them in the offseason. I saw what their talent was. I saw them come together with the coaches. And so am I going to say this is what I expected? No. But I'm not surprised now as you look back and you see the other things that happen. A big part of it is BYU. But another part of it is changes. Every team in the league has changes galore. I mean, you talk about the transfer portal and NIL and team culture and all those factors, people leaving early, injuries. And this is a conference that's probably not as deep as some of the – I mean, it's not as deep as the SEC or the Big Ten. But as you watch these games from week to week to week, you see that each team, including BYU, has vulnerabilities. And in this game tonight, it's a matter of which team can expose the other team's vulnerability.
The motivational cliche is chip on the shoulder, and I sometimes tend to disregard that. Like, that might work for a bit, but for this team, how much of that notion is a real thing with this group that went through 5-7 last year that helps lead to 6-0?
I think there's a part of it, Greg. I mean, there's so many factors, and I think if you add all those factors up together, it shows 6-0. But I think one of the things that I give the credit to Kalani and his staff is that this is a one-game team. They really do a great job of playing one game at a time. It's the proverbial coach speak. But I've just been impressed by after the game, they celebrate, they dance. It's a great time. I go see them on Monday, flatline. It's like they're not hung over from the week before. they're looking forward to the next week. So I give Kalani a lot of credit for not making it. It's hard to carry a chip on your shoulder against teams. If that's helping you win, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I think individual players sometimes need to prove something to themselves or to a coach or to the rest of the team. And I think a lot of our players have gone out there this year and proved, hey, I belong out here.
Is it crazy for you to see the transition to college football with NIL and everything? Has it been hard for you? I mean, you've been in this game for so many years, Tom, and the changes are so dramatic over the last couple of years with transfer portal NILs. How wild has it been to be a part of that?
You know, I have a different attitude than most people would think. Typical. But it reminds me of COVID. I mean, COVID came and it turned everything upside down. And you could say, woe is me. This is going to be a tough year. I think the same thing is true. You have the transfer portal. You have a realignment with different leagues. And you have NIL. And now you have the house settlement and revenue share. Everybody's got it. We're all in the same game. I'm looking at it just like, guys, what are we going to do the best we can be? I don't like a lot of aspects of the future of college athletics, but I love the fact that each and every Saturday we get to play games. Do the games look any different than last year?
They don't.
They don't really. They look different from COVID, but only in the respect that there's no one in the stands. My bliss is coming to these games and just watching the boys play.
How special has this venue become over the last, 10 years, let's say, to the point where national visitors, national commentators, people are saying this is a destination college football venue now?
I mean, there's magic in the air. I played in the stadium. I played in it for three years before they refurbished it and put the end zones and the press box in. And I thought it was special then compared to other schools. Hans, you played in it with this, and it was special for you.
Oh, it was incredible.
We always thought it was great.
Yeah.
But there is something going on this year.
It's crazy.
I can't really put my finger on it. But I think it's a combination of all of it. I talked to Kalani and said, Kalani, one thing, I don't want the players to think that it's not them. It's a football game. You have got to win the game on the field. But you'll take every little help you can get, and these fans, the Rock and Cougar Nation. And it's not just during the game, it's during the week. Everybody's buying in.
So there's so many things that I love about you as an athletic director, but one of my favorite things is you've played at every level and you are a great player. You've coached at the levels and you're a great coach. And now you get to see it from an administration point of view. And I want to know, taking all of the experience that you've had in the different phases of your life, what does BYU need to do to keep this trend going?
I think you just got to stay on the path. I mean, it's kind of the principles of our church. You know, you stay on the path. There's going to be all kinds of things that are going to be coming your way, and you don't know what's going to hit you in the side of the head. Ups and downs and trials and struggles and challenges. And then there's going to be these beautiful times in your life where things are just glorious and there's a lot of joy. That's how football is. And that's the way I've always looked at it. I mean, look, I could go back to pro ball. We won, the 49ers won in 81 and 84, 85, 86, 87. Those were tough years. The expectations were extraordinarily high. But we had challenges. We had difficulties. And then you get ready for 88. And it was time, and everything came together. So I think it's just kind of preparation. It's perseverance. It's you got to be ready when everything comes together. And for half of the season, everything's come together, and the boys have been ready. And now we turn the page to the second half of the chapter of the book, which is BYU Oklahoma State.
And you have this situation in the first year of a 12-team playoff, where now the talk starts a little earlier, involves a few more teams, and I am so hesitant to even head that direction yet. Because
then don't go there, because I'm not going there.
Because it is only 6-0. But the point being, there are more people invited to the party now. That brings more people in maybe earlier in the season, and it's a fun time to be a college football fan for that reason.
Yeah, you got to love it. Hope springs eternal for every single team. I mean, like right now, Oklahoma State has had some games. These haven't played very well. But their people are going, it's a new game. We're at BYU. Just think, what could happen if this game comes along? So, like, I think every fan base makes the most of every game. And now we're trying to make the most of the season, so we want to paint a picture that ends with a beautiful story.
So, Tom, last thing from me. I don't want you to get into the intimate details of it, but I am very curious about the conversations that you have with Kalani. What are they like right now? What are you saying to him, and what advice do you give him, or how much do you talk to him?
I talk to him all the time, but I want to make this perfectly clear. Like, I'm telling Kalani, bro, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. There's no way in the world I'm going to take 1 ounce of what I've learned from X's and O's or strategy, because this is now. The time is now for him and his team. I'm like a consultant to him. I'm like, I don't want to say that. It sounds too formal. We're really good friends, and I just go in there every day. I give him a hug. We squeeze hard, and I say, basically, whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
It's working. Do it.
It's working great.
And the same.
I just try not to screw it up.
For you too, though, it is working. And we speak for Cougar Nation when we say we're so glad that you're the man steering the ship right now and guiding us through these turbulent but also very exciting waters right now.
Well, they're exciting, all right. But I would be remiss if I didn't say, way to go, Greg. 300 broadcasts
yes.
tonight. 300.
Yes.
And. You know, that's
part of it.
If you do 300 of anything, it's quite a task. But people would have no idea. They think you just come in and wing the game. Oh. Rest left back to pass. But I know the work, the energy, the effort. You study your tapes after the game to see how you can get better. Like, I love it. And Cougar Nation, like, you're part of this whole magic. Is Greg in the box?
Yes, it is.
Voice of the Cougars. Let's go.
Love you, Tom. Thank you so much. That's Tom Holmo. We'll come back with more of the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show live from LaBelle Edwards Stadium after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Let's pause 10 seconds for a station identification on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Welcome back to LaBelle Edwards Stadium here in Provo, Utah. Kickoff for BYU and Oklahoma State just over 20 minutes from now. Let's open the segment of pregame coverage with our Hyatt Comfort Zone feature, a Hyatt Place Comfort Zone feature at Hyatt Place Provo. Your convenience and comfort will always be our highest priority. BYU more comfortable in the running back room since the return last week of L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati. After both missed a month due to lower body injuries, they returned to play against Arizona. And, Hans, they made an immediate impact. Hinkley led BYU with 65 rushing yards, more than 7 yards per carry. L.J. led BYU in yards from scrimmage with 95. That's 160 yards, basically, they didn't have the week before. L.J. scored 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing, 1 receiving. His next TD will be his 10th, by the way, as a Cougar, and his career is still just getting started. BYU did well, I think, to manage without those guys in the lineup, but with those two running the rock, it feels like they really helped to unlock the potential of this A-Rod-led offense.
No question, and there's a few things that are going to come from that. Number one, I think that you can give Jake Retzlaff just a little bit of rushing relief. He's had 40 carries for 184 yards so far this year. He's your leading rusher still. I think that changes tonight. I think either Ropati or Martin or both are going to pass him as the leading rusher on this team. And that's a good thing. Take that away from him. Not completely, but take it off his plate so he doesn't have to feel like he's got to keep these drives alive and make sure that L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati are really churning out the yards. And I do think, no matter what Oklahoma State comes out and tries to do, I do think that run game is going to be available tonight.
Well, we always talk about football as a three-phase game, and the phrase, complementary football is a recent reflection of those three phases. And this season for BYU has kind of been a clinic in complementary football. When the defense takes the ball away, the offense seems to score on every ensuing possession. When the offense gives the ball away, the defense makes sure that it doesn't cost the Cougs. And then special teams, they're making their kicks, they're scoring in the return game, and they're helping BYU gain the average starting field position advantage. BYU's had that margin advantage in 5 of 6 games so far. Hence, this is not a team without flaws. There are things to work on, no doubt, but it is a complete team in terms of the contributions it gets from all three segments.
Yeah, it is. And this is what I love about the world of football. At some point, one of those phases is going to let you down. It just happens. Somebody's going to miss a kick. Farron might push it wide right, and you might need it. And your defense is like, don't worry. Hey, we're going to go get that back. Be ready to kick the next one. Your offense throws a pick. Your defense says, hey, don't worry. We got that. We'll get that back. Your defense gives up a quick deep ball. The offense says, don't worry. We'll go score. Just make sure you stop. And you're able to pick up the slack with each of the three phases that's left out. Back when I was going to school here at BYU and I'd be in the science lab and we were working as a team, and a lot of times
you were a studious guy. In fact, it was hard to get you out of the classroom and out of the football field sometimes.
Well, a lot of times the lab teammates would have to pick up where I was slacking off a little bit. And then sometimes it was my job where I had to pick up for them. More often they for me, but, you know.
Yeah, I hear. I get the point. You mentioned the phrase deep ball a minute ago. I did the research on this and posted a bit on Twitter earlier today, or X. The Cougars are not giving up the big, big plays. We saw last week, for example, Tetero McMillan came in with Noah Fafita. Could they keep him, you know, without breaking big ones? And they did. The Cougars have given up literally to this point in the season one play, one scrimmage play of longer than 40 yards in 6 games.
That's really just defensive integrity, and that goes back to Jay Hill. So I want everybody to understand, Jay is a defensive mastermind. He is. He's a defensive mastermind. He knows all positions. The position he knows the best is that safety position. He knows how to manage safeties, whether he's doing 2 or 1 or he's bringing any type of extra help with the nickel. He understands how to work safety help. That's why we've seen big picks from Wall. We've seen a big pick from Wakely. You know, we're seeing those big-time interceptions on those deep balls when a team has to have it because Jay Hill understands safety play, and he's getting excellent play from Tanner Wall, Talon Alfrey, Crew Wakely, Tommy Parassus. He's getting great play from those safeties, and they're just on the spot, Greg. It's tough to get over the top on them.
Meantime, Oklahoma State is allowing teams to get over the top and through the middle and to the edge. There's a lot of big plays going against Oklahoma State, and I bring that up for this reason. Should the ball get rolling for BYU and the chunk plays are coming and the crowd gets going, we've seen already K-State win, Arizona win, the value, the literal real value of momentum in this building. If the big plays start to come and the chunks are happening, Oklahoma State, not a super deep team to begin with right now. Now they're at altitude. Now it's 9:30, 10 o'clock body clock time. How do they respond to all of that should the Cougs get going? Because OSU has shown a proclivity for giving up the big play.
They have, and they showed it against West Virginia just before going into the bye week. I don't know if there's any game more than West Virginia that showed up. And they were biting it in the run game. They were biting it over the top. They were getting those chunk yardages pretty much every time they went for it. They were up 31-7 at the half, Greg.
Yeah.
And it wasn't by luck. It was by sheer beating. West Virginia took no mercy on them, and it was those big chunk yards. And I want people to understand, it was the same with Kansas State. Avery Johnson, the guy that BYU bottled up, Avery Johnson had his way with this defense, this Oklahoma State defense, to the tune of 559 offensive yards. Over 1,100 yards in the last 2 games alone from these offenses against this defense. And I could go into the details of what the film shows me. The film shows me that the defense does not have gap integrity. They are not a disciplined defense. They get moved out of gaps. They do not hold their spot. They also don't rush the passer real well. So you're sitting in clean pockets, and that's allowing routes to develop. Oklahoma State feels like it's a trench mess. But I'm telling you, I'm wadding it up and I'm throwing it out, and I don't believe it until I see it through 2 quarters tonight.
What hasn't helped the Cowboys is losing 2 All-American linebackers.
Yeah.
Nick Martin and Colin Oliver not being a part of this puzzle has had a significant impact. Coming up, more of our pregame coverage ahead of kickoff for BYU and Oklahoma State, and we'll head down to field level and hear from Mitchell Juergens as the Ken Garf Cougar kickoff show continues live from Lavelle Edwards Stadium here in Provo on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Tonight here in Provo, it is BYU and Oklahoma State to BYU 0-3 all time against the Cowboys, but getting the Pokes in Provo for the first time all time. Last season, Oklahoma State played in the Big 12 championship game for a second time in the last 3 years and was led to the title tilt by one of the most prolific running backs in college football last year. Ollie Gordon had 1,732 rushing yards. He averaged 6.1 yards per carry. He scored 22 touchdowns. He had 5 rushing touchdowns in the Cowboys' overtime win over BYU. This season, Gordon's averaging half the per-game rushing yardage he averaged last season. His yards per carry numbers gone from over 6 to under 4. And OSU has been outrushed by nearly 1,000 yards through 6 games. And this with an offensive line that boasts nearly 250 combined starts. Defensively, OSU is noted as missing the All-American linebackers Martin and Oliver due to injury, and the rush defense also ranks very poorly. Hands, if there was ever a night to game plan to run and stop the run, even against Ollie Gordon, tonight's looking like that night right now.
Tonight needs to be that night, and I think BYU needs to send a message nationally that they can play with powerhouses and that they can shut down teams that are still kind of in a bad situation coming off a bye week and not allow any surprises. And my mouth just sat partially agape as I watched West Virginia defensively against this Oklahoma State front. We were talking about it with the voice of Oklahoma State. West Virginia did not load the box. They didn't jumbo front. They didn't go big. They didn't go bare front. They went 4 downs. They went 2 backs. They went 5 in the box. They did pay attention to the run. They all played downhill, run first, quickly transitioned to the pass. With 5 in the box, sometimes 6, but mostly 5, they held that team to 32 yards rushing. They held them to 32 yards net rushing. Ollie Gordon ended up with 50, but they went to 32 because West Virginia was making plays in the backfield as well. It was shocking what West Virginia was able to do. So you're right on the money. We need to see BYU pound them in the trench.
Conversely, when does the real Oklahoma State stand up?
Okay. That's why I've got this weird butterfly in my gut, because you can't let it be tonight. You're still trying to impress the pollsters. You're still trying to convince yourself. You're still trying to convince everybody that had any doubts that you're a ball club, that you're a real ball club, that you deserve to be in the top 10. I felt like it was an insult going from 14 to 13 after the win that you had against Arizona. I thought it was an insult. I think people are still doubting this team. So you can't have a hiccup. And that's what's giving me the butterflies tonight. I'm just sitting here with anxiety. Yeah, I've got a lot of excitement. I just have anxiety because I've got too much trust and faith in Mike Gundy to believe what I've seen so far this season.
And we both saw how quickly the game in Stillwater turned last year. Let's not forget, BYU led that game by 18 points at halftime. Kalani, in his now 9 seasons, he's had literally 2 games in which his team has lost a 2-touchdown-plus lead at halftime and lost the game. That was the second one. BYU led by 18 and lost in double overtime. The Cowboys got rolling. Ollie Gordon got going. Alan Bowman, ironically, started making throws through the rain and the cold in Stillwater and led that team back. And that kept BYU out of the postseason, as we have covered. All right, let's first of all talk about the quarterback situation. It needs to be discussed. Coming off the bye week, which came after 3 straight losses, Oklahoma State considered a change of starting quarterback and is apparently making that change. Alan Bowman, the senior starter, he'd already been benched in 2 games. Garrett Rangel, viewed as the likely replacement, and he'll be the guy that they'll go to tonight to start the game at quarterback. The redshirt freshman Zane Flores did not travel. He will not be in the mix. So if not Rangel, or Bowman, you're now throwing like a freshman into the possible mix, but I can't see them wanting to do that. If Rangel doesn't work out tonight, you got to think they go back to Bowman, you would believe. Head coach Mike Gundy will play it out for us, and we'll see how it goes. Let's head down to Mitchell Juergens, who joins us now. Let's do this. Before we go to Mitchell,
Let's maybe get all of our national anthem for the Cougar Marching Band, and then we'll head to Mitchell Juergens for a quick thought or two. We're getting ready for kickoff for BYU and Oklahoma State here at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Provo, Utah. And let's turn it down to field level, and we will get tonight's national anthem.
For 21 years, it's conducting the national anthem.
Tonight's national anthem is followed by a drone show.
Because why not?
Above the north end zone here at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Lighted drones have a royal blue oval and a white lit stretch Y hovering over the stadium. That is phenomenal.
That's beautiful.
How cool is that?
Well, it's just another addition. You know, you got the lighting, you got the great band, you got the national anthem, you got this beautiful drone show. It's just a lit evening.
That looks incredible.
Oh, it's so cool. And they just continue to let it float above the crowd. Everybody's so enamored by it.
Oh, man alive. That looks outstanding. Well, I know that those who follow the BYU social media accounts will see a certainly artistic and visually striking rendition of this on the social media channels as the night and the weekend continues. The new feature, a drone show, and it's still hovering and rotating over the north end zone and is now disappearing light by light. That was very, very cool.
And now right. Reappearing light by light and now now blinking.
Wow.
What a show.
The drone show continues. Let's head down to Mitchell Juergens, who joins us now from the Zions Bank end zone for banking. Oh, and now we've got the drone show going at the south end zone. And the words there are "Go Cougars" hovering above the stadium. Well done. The BYU fan experience people outdoing themselves tonight. All right, down to Mitchell in the Zions Bank end zone for banking that goes the extra yard. Zions Bank is for you. And, Mitch, regardless of who BYU sees at quarterback tonight, again, it looks like it'll be Garrett Rangel. That signal caller is facing a tall task because, as you noted in our postgame show the other night, last Saturday, BYU is basically forcing every opposing quarterback into basically his worst game of the season. This is, after all, BYU now the number one team pass efficiency defense in America.
Yeah, Greg, when it comes to pass efficiency for quarterbacks, that starts with simply completing the football. And these teams playing BYU have struggled mightily in this category. The best completion percentage BYU has given up so far through six games was against Baylor, where Sawyer Robertson completed just 56% of his passes. And a good, respectable amount should be 60%, ideally 65% or better when it comes to completing those passes. And every other quarterback has been much worse. And Greg, these are not bad quarterbacks either. This is, you know, these are Big 12 studs. Players like Avery Johnson from Kansas State, Noah Fifita at Arizona, who proved to be real threats against, their other opponents. Now, the question, like, how is this happening, right? Why has this BYU defense been able to keep these quarterbacks so in check? Well, it's a collective contribution from this entire defense. Jay Hill has done such a fantastic job scheming up plays, surprising offenses with new looks. But after that, it's every player just doing their job, whether that's bringing pressure, locking down receivers, going stride for stride, you know, spying the QB to take away the pass or the rush lane so he's forced to pass. this, you know, regardless of who takes snaps for Oklahoma State, it's going to be challenging because this pass defense is legit.
How's the drone show looking to you down there, Mitch?
Man, this is, it just doesn't stop.
Like, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, you look at this whole stadium, though. This is, I mean, oh, my gosh, the north end zone.
The Cougar head.
Those Cougar head.
This
atmosphere is insane. I mean, the stadium is packed. It's at full capacity already. And this is just what playing football at Lavelle Edwards Stadium is. I mean, it's something special.
Thank you, Mitch. Coming up next, coin toss opening kick of BYU and OSU. This has been the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show, live from a sold-out Lavelle Edwards Stadium on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.